This is Ozarks at Large. Tomorrow night, autumn arrives. To mark the opening of fall, we're spending some time this week discussing other great openings. Yesterday, John Jetter, the musical director of the Fort Smith Symphony, picked great opening moments in music. Today, P.J. Hrabowski will talk with David Lewis, the executive chef of the Brick House Kitchen at the corner of 11th and South School Avenue in Fayetteville. He discussed both how to open a specific meal and how to open a seasonal menu for a restaurant. P.J. asked David to imagine a food critic from the New York Times has walked into his restaurant today and asked to be wowed. David Lewis says, given that scenario, he would work from his current menu.
Starting with some bits of cheese with our homemade crackers, and then, for example, right now we're at the close of our summer menu, and you know we're at the last of the ratatouille. Mm-hmm. So the late summer peppers are really sweet, and we're at the last mm-hmm. of the squashes, you know, and we're actually serving that with the Pecorino Oro Antico, which is a beautiful aged sheep's milk cheese from Italy. That sort of then ties into the idea of cheese as well, and so we would have that warm ratatouille with the cheese on top of it, and some sort of earthy, stinky blue cheese with some currants and brandy. And then maybe just a little tiny sampling of our chef de cuisine, Lisa Jeter's cucumber soup, because it's still a little warm outside, mm-hmm. And the soup is cool with just a little bit of heat from some jalapenos from the Brick House Kitchen Garden, which is a great thing to be able to say as well. And so that introduction would be about the idea of little combinations of flavors and textures that represented our ideas of things from around the world that are delicious, from some things that we craft in-house by hand, like our little handmade crackers that we're doing right now, I think are really special. But also this combination of temperatures as well. And so being able to take, you know, a piece of warm pepper and follow that of warm pepper from the ratatouille that's actually heat warm, you know, from the oven with a little bit of gooey cheese on the top. Oh. And following that with a really cool, you know, spoonful of cucumber soup that sort of washes the warmth away, but then finishes it with just a little bit of heat from the chili. So we have heat in two different ways. And then following that with, you know, some earthy, gooey, you know, stinky, barnyardy, you know, cheese with a homemade poppy seed cracker.
You know, and it's lunchtime, so we're all salivating. We're all salivating, going, okay, what next? Okay, so this is the appetizer. So it's kind of a sampler of different things.
Exactly.
Which sounds wonderful.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that in the way that we present our dinner menu is not to separate courses out. I mean, we have one piece of paper that has under a dish heading, a variety of ways of sort of allowing that dish to appear before you as a first course, as a salad, as an entree, and so that first episode would be about that idea of sort of being able to compose your own way through these choices.
Okay,
you
so
know, that we have done.
So you've started with heat and then cool and then heat. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so what follows that?
Then I get challenged because there are two big overarching ideas that are sort of present in our food right now. And one is the idea of representing healthful, nourishing food grown in sustainable ways, often by local people, and our doing really interesting things to it that really try to treat those really great ingredients as simply as possible so they can be what they are. And the other is this fascination that I in particular have with flavor combinations from around the world. You know, and so I would look at our summer menu that we're just about to close and open the fall menu in October, and I would struggle in choosing two dishes.
Okay,
one that Lisa designed for us for this menu, which is very representative of her creativity, our sort of collaborative view of taking a traditional idea. spinning it around the globe and then trying to get inside of it and simplify it in a way that allows each of the flavors and textures to be present. And that dish is the tandoori scallops. You know, and I think of tandoori traditionally as that beautiful Indian dish of marinating meats and vegetables and yogurt and this tandoori spice, and then cooking it in the tandoori oven. And that, that presence of the yogurt and the cream, you know, is a really magical thing. And what Lisa's done, however, is pull that spice blend, the tandoori spice blend, out of the yogurt and cream.
Okay.
And so that that yogurt, that cooling thing, that presence that you get from the yogurt isn't in this dish at all, but that really beautiful, clear, complex set of flavors from the tandoori spice that, that she crafts is dusted on the scallops, and they're pan-seared. It's sprinkled on the bacon, so we have scallops and bacon,
okay,
and this really sort of traditional American combination.
Okay.
But the bacon is cooked independently, and it's first oven roasted with the spices on it, and then re-roasted again so that it's crisp when it goes on the plate. And then we took the idea of a summer succotash, but used the vegetables that we could get.
Okay.
So we were using corn and cabbage and a little bit of red pepper, and folding that into forbidden rice, which is this beautiful tiny black rice from Japan.
And it's called forbidden
rice?
It's
called forbidden rice. Yeah. That's just like arborio rice, you know, from Italy. This is forbidden rice. And it's a beautiful visual presence, you know, on the plate. So it's just charcoal black, and then we've got the yellow of the corn and this sort of yellowy oil that's coming off of the tandoori scallops.
And the wonderful spices.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is it sounds like a very, very complicated dish. Mm-hmm. But when it's put in front of you, it's really not. You know, and when you get it on your palate, it all fits together. The other dish, which I think is one of the most incredible dishes that we have on the current menu, is a dish of cannellini beans and whole oat groats with fresh fennel and purple onions in a smoked tomato vinaigrette. And this dish is an example of what happens when Lisa and I stand at the two ends of the kitchen and put a plate in the center of the room, you know, and start, you know, one of us will sort of put a card on the plate, and then the other will respond to that. And then we walk around and we flip it up and we'll often then hang it on the wall and we'll come back to it days later and see sort of how it's looking, you know, conceptually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, a representative of my exploration of really nourishing food. You know, whole oat groats are one of the most nutritious, you know, things that you can get. And we're all used to having oatmeal for breakfast, but this grain is an extraordinary thing in the savory kitchen. And as a component of a side dish, or in this case as a main course, it's really an amazing texture and flavor.
It sounds like two great dinners, David.
Thank you.
And just as a little side note, you do have a garden out there, don't you?
We do.
And so you grow it as much as you can.
Absolutely.
That you use. I mean, you walk out to the garden, grab your herbs and whatever veggies you can grow, and that's
one.
David Lewis, executive chef of Brick House Kitchen in Fayetteville. David, come back. Can we talk about food some more?
I would love that. Thank you very much.
David, we'll be back. For Ozarks at Large, I'm PJ Hrabowski.
And David Lewis should soon know more about openings. He's planning to open a second location next month inside Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. And online at ozarksatlarge.com, you can hear David talk to PJ about a couple of great ways to end a meal. He discusses desserts that he would serve with the meals he described today, including a dish he calls chocolate soup.
And the chocolate is melted in a little bit of water, a little bit of red wine, and a little bit of maple syrup, just enough to sort of sweeten it slightly. And there's just enough red wine in there to sort of link it in acidity to the cake. So there's this puddle of chilled chocolate soup, and then the cake is in the center.
Desserts online at ozarksatlarge.com.